Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. If you want to open your Bible to Jeremiah 17, we will be reading Jeremiah chapters 17 through 21. I will pray. I will read through these passages, taking some pauses to maybe make some devotional comments that come to mind. And then I will try to make some personal applications at the end, encourage you to do the same, and I will enclose in prayer. Father, I pray that you would help me right now as we read your word, that you will use your spirit to help me, to help us to understand what you are saying, to learn more about you and our relationship with you, and to know how to apply this Old Testament passage of prophecy today. In Jesus' name, amen. Jeremiah 17. Judah's sin is engraved with an iron tool, inscribed with a flint point, on the tablets of their hearts and on the horns of their altars. Even their children remember their altars and Asherah poles beside the spreading trees and on the high hills. My mountain and the land and your wealth and all your treasures I will give away as plunder, together with your high places, because of sin throughout your country. Through your own fault you will lose the inheritance I gave you. I will enslave you to your enemies in a land you do not know, for you have kindled my anger, and it will burn forever. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one dwells. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. Take a pause there just a moment as God is talking about how important it is to trust him. The blessings that come from trusting him, the blessings that come from putting their confidence in him rather than what the people of Israel were doing in that day, putting their confidence in other things or other people or even themselves. And chapter 17, verse 9 is a verse I memorized as a kid and is still in my heart and mind and important to remember. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? We can't even understand our own hearts. They're so deceitful. And then it follows up, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind. So who knows it? God knows it. He knows my heart. Verse 11, like a partridge that hatches eggs it did not lay, are those who gain riches by unjust means. When their lives are half gone, their riches will desert them. And in the end, they will prove to be fools. A glorious throne, exalted from the beginning, is the place of our sanctuary. Lord, you are the hope of Israel. All who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn away from you will be written in the dust, because they have forsaken the Lord, the spring of living water. Heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for you are the one I praise. They keep saying to me, where's the word of the Lord? Let it now be fulfilled. I've not run away from being your shepherd. You know I have not desired the day of despair. What passes my lips is open before you. Do not be a terror to me. You are my refuge in the day of disaster. Let my persecutors be put to shame, but keep me from shame. Let them be terrified, but keep me from terror. Bring on them the day of disaster. Destroy them with double destruction. This is Jeremiah praying and asking God to save his people, to save him and to defeat his enemies. Verse 19, this is what the Lord said to me. Go and stand at the gate of the people through which the kings of Judah go in and out. Stand also at all the other gates of Jerusalem. Say to them, hear the word of the Lord, you kings of Judah, and all the people of Judah, and everyone living in Jerusalem who come through these gates. This is what the Lord says. Be careful not to carry a load on the Sabbath day or bring it through the gates of Jerusalem. Do not bring a load out of your houses or do any work on the Sabbath, but keep the Sabbath day holy as I commanded your ancestors. Yet they did not listen or pay attention. They were stiff-necked and would not listen or respond to discipline. But if you are careful to obey me, declares the Lord, and bring no load through the gates of this city on the Sabbath, but keep the Sabbath day holy by not doing any work on it, Then kings who sit on David's throne will come through the gates of the city with their officials. They and their officials will come riding in chariots and on horses, accompanied by the men of Judah and those living in Jerusalem. And this city will be inhabited forever. People will come from the towns of Judah and the villages around Jerusalem, from the territory of Benjamin and the western foothills, from the hill country and the Negev, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, grain offerings and incense, and bringing thank offerings to the house of the Lord. But if you do not obey me to keep the Sabbath day holy by not carrying any load as you come through the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle an unquenchable fire in the gates of Jerusalem that will continue, consume her fortresses. End of chapter 17. Interesting, God is just pointing out one of the laws that he had placed before his people to keep the Sabbath day holy, to not violate it as many had been doing by doing work on the Sabbath day. And he says, if you'll obey, then many people will come and visit. You will be back in where you need to be, in the place of blessing. Chapter 18. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands, so the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does? Declares the Lord, like clay in the hand of the potter, so you are in my hand, Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. Now therefore, say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I am preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions. So there's this opportunity here, I'm taking a pause, for God to say, listen, I'm talking about a judgment that's coming on you, but when I say that there's a judgment and you repent, I can take away the judgment. Just as if you think everything is good and then you turn away from me, I can bring the judgment back. Verse 12. But they will reply, it's no use. We will continue with our own plans. We will all follow the stubbornness of our evil hearts. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. Inquire among the nations. Who has ever heard anything like this? A most horrible thing has been done by virgin Israel. Does the snow of Lebanon ever vanish from its rocky slopes? Do its cool waters from distant sources ever stop flowing? Yet my people have forgotten me. They burn incense to worthless idols, which made them stumble in their ways in the ancient paths. They made them walk in byways on roads not built up. Their land will be an object of horror and of lasting scorn. All who pass by will be appalled and will shake their heads. Like a wind from the east, I will scatter them before their enemies. I will show them my back and not my face in the day of their disaster. They say, come, let's make plans against Jeremiah. For the teaching of the law by the priest will not cease, nor will counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophets. So come, let's attack him with our tongues and pay no attention to anything he says. Listen to me, Lord. Hear what my accusers are saying. Should good be repaid with evil? Yet they have dug a pit for me. Remember that I stood before you and spoke in their behalf to turn your wrath away from them. So give their children over to famine. Hand them over to the power of the sword. Let their wives be made childless and widows. Let their men be put to death, their young men slain by the sword in battle. Let a cry be heard from their houses when you suddenly bring invaders against them. For they have dug a pit to capture me and have hidden snares for my feet. But you, Lord, know all their plots to kill me. Do not forgive their crimes or blot out their sins from their sight, from your sight. Let them be overthrown before you. Deal with them in the time of your anger. Into chapter 18. So here's Jeremiah getting pretty upset with the way that God's people are not only treating God and ignoring him, but how they're treating Jeremiah. And Jeremiah said, Lord, bring your judgment on them for what they're doing. Chapter 19. This is what the Lord says. Go and buy a clay jar from a potter. Take along some of the elders of the people and of the priests and go to the valley of Ben-Hinnom near the entrance of the potsherd gate. There proclaim the words I tell you and say, here, The word of the Lord, you kings of Judah and people of Jerusalem, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Listen, I am going to bring a disaster on this place that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. For they have forsaken me and have made this a place of foreign gods. They have burned incense in it to gods that neither they nor their ancestors nor the kings of Judah ever knew. And they have filled this place with the blood of the innocent. They have built the high places of Baal to burn their children in the fire as offerings to Baal, something I did not command or mention, nor did it enter my mind. So beware, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when people will no longer call this place Topheth or the Valley of Ben-Hinnom, but the Valley of Slaughter. In this place I will ruin the plans of Judah and Jerusalem. I will make them fall by the sword before their enemies at the hands of those who want to kill them. And I will give their carcasses as food to the birds and the wild animals. I will devastate this city and make it an object of horror and scorn. All who pass by will be appalled and will scoff because of all its wounds. I will make them eat the flesh of their sons and daughters, and they will eat one another's flesh because their enemies will press the siege so hard against them to destroy them. Then break the jar while those who go with you are watching, and say to them, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I will smash this nation and this city just as this potter's jar is smashed and cannot be repaired. They will bury the dead in Topheth until there is no more room. This is what I will do to this place and to those who live here, declares the Lord. I will make this city like Topheth. The houses in Jerusalem and those of the kings of Judah will be defiled like this place, Topheth. All the houses where they burn incense on the roofs to all the starry hosts and poured out drink offerings to other gods. Jeremiah then returned from Topheth, where the Lord had sent him to prophesy, and stood in the court of the Lord's temple and said to all the people, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Listen, I am going to bring on this city and all the villages around it every disaster I pronounced against them, because they were stiff-necked and would not listen to my words. So Jeremiah continues to prophesy. We're at the end of chapter 19 now. Continues to prophesy what God has given him to say. And the basic thing is this: judgment is coming on you because you have refused to repent. Chapter 20. When the priest Pashur, son of Immer, the official in charge of the temple of the Lord, heard Jeremiah prophesying these things, he had Jeremiah the prophet beaten and put in the stocks at the upper gate of Benjamin at the Lord's temple. The next day, when Pashur released him from the stocks, Jeremiah said to him, the Lord's name for you is not Pashur, but terror on every side. For this is what the Lord says, I will make you a terror to yourself and to all your friends, and your own eyes will not see them fall by the sword of their enemies. I will give all Judah in the hands of the king of Babylon, who will carry them away to Babylon or put them to the sword. I will deliver all the wealth of this city into the hands of their enemies, all its products, all its valuables, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah. They will take it away as plunder and carry it off to Babylon. And you, Pashur, and all who live in your house will go into exile to Babylon. There you will die and be buried, you and all your friends to whom you have prophesied lies. Pause there for a moment. Jeremiah was actually put, in a sense, in prison, as we think about it, in the stocks. He was beaten. They don't like the prophecy that he's giving, but he's just speaking for God. So now he's saying, well, here's what's going to happen to you and your household in the future. And he's looking ahead to the 586 BC captivity of Judah, the southern kingdom of Israel, by Babylon. Continue chapter 20, verse 7. You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. I hear many whispering. Terror on every side. Denounce him. Let's denounce him. All my friends are waiting for me to slip, saying, perhaps he will be deceived. Then we will prevail over him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. So my persecutors will stumble and will not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous and probe the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance on them, for to you I have committed my cause. So he's crying out, Jeremiah is crying out to all who have been against him. And he's crying out to God. You know, he's wanting God to do something. He's wanting God to show him to be right. He's wanting God to bring revenge on his enemies. Verse 13, sing to the Lord, give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. Cursed be the day I was born. May the day my mother bore me not be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought my father the news, who made him very glad, saying, a child is born to you, a son. May that man be like the towns the Lord overthrew without pity. May he hear wailing in the morning, a battle cry at noon. For he did not kill me in the womb, with my mother as my grave, her womb enlarged forever. Why did I ever come out of the womb? To see trouble and sorrow, and to end my days in shame. End of chapter 20. Basically, Jeremiah is lamenting. He's coming to God saying, give praise to him, but then he's lamenting, saying, I wish I had never been born. I didn't want to have to face this. Chapter 21. The word came to Jeremiah from the Lord when King Zedekiah sent to him Pashur, son of Malchijah, and the priest Zephaniah, son of Maaseiah. They said, inquire now of the Lord for us, because Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, is attacking us. Perhaps the Lord will perform wonders for us, as in times past, so that he will withdraw from us. But Jeremiah answered them, tell Zedekiah, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I am about to turn against you the weapons of war that are in your hands, which you are using to fight the king of Babylon and the Babylonians who are outside the wall besieging you. And I will gather them inside this city. I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand and a mighty arm in furious anger and in great wrath. I will strike down those who live in this city, both man and beast, and they will die of a terrible plague. After that, declares the Lord, I will give Zedekiah, king of Judah, his officials, and the people in this city who survived the plague, sword, and famine, into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and to their enemies who want to kill them. He will put them to the sword. He will show them no mercy or pity or compassion. Furthermore, tell the people, this is what the Lord says. See, I am setting before you the way of life and the way of death. Whoever stays in this city will die by the sword, famine, or plague. But whoever goes out and surrenders to the Babylonians who are besieging you will live. They will escape with their lives. I have determined to do this city harm and not good, declares the Lord. It will be given into the hands of the king of Babylon, and he will destroy it with fire. Moreover, say to the royal house of Judah, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says to you, house of David. Administer justice every morning. Rescue from the hand of the oppressor the one who has been robbed. Or my wrath will break out and burn like fire because of the evil you have done. Burn with no one to quench it. I am against you, Jerusalem. You who live above this valley on the rocky plateau, declares the Lord. You who say, who can come against us? Who can enter our refuge? I will punish you as your deeds deserve, declares the Lord. I will kindle a fire in your forests that will consume everything around you. And that's the end of chapter 21 in our reading for today. So I don't know if you've read through this before, but as I read through this again now, it's disheartening. You've got Jeremiah the prophet who is saying the things that God has told him to say, but he's also wrestling in his inner soul with this message. And the people, of course, and the king are wrestling with this and asking for deliverance. And yet, they're still not repenting. They're still not turning toward God as God has asked them to do. So what do I take away from this? A couple of things. I think first about God. A reminder that we don't really like, and we sometimes stay away from the Old Testament because of this, but a reminder that God is not only a God of love, he is a God of holiness and justice and judgment. And when we stand before God, if we were to stand before him now and think about him, we realize that we are nothing and we are all deserving of punishment, judgment, eternal judgment. Of course, that's where Christ comes in then with the new covenant. But here in this case, we have a nation, the nation of Israel, the southern kingdom called Judah, that is about to follow Israel into captivity, this time to Babylon. And because they have not repented, there's nothing that can be done. God basically says, I'm coming after you. And so that's a good reminder to remember the holiness of God. And that he expects us, even today, to turn our hearts toward him in confession and repentance. I think of our nation, that was founded on biblical principles, but certainly has turned their own way by and large, and has gone their own way. And we are deserving of judgment as well. Any day that we are not judged, any time that we feel we are doing well in this country, is simply by the grace of God and mercy of God. We should turn in repentance. But the second thing I take away is just personally, again, from the verse that I had known as a child, Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure, or desperately wicked. Who can understand it? So it's good for me to remember that I can even deceive myself. And so I must desperately remain on my knees before God to have his wisdom, to have his forgiveness, to turn away from my sin, and to fully follow him. And that's what I want to do today. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Jeremiah and all that he went through as a faithful prophet to wrestle with the things you were telling him and the destruction that was coming, to give it faithfully to the people to whom you sent him, and to endure their accusations and to endure suffering because of your word. Help me to be prepared to do the same. And Father, I pray that because of my sinful, deceitful heart, that your spirit would help me to be sensitive so that when I do sin, I will confess it freely and confess it quickly and turn away from it in repentance and follow you wholeheartedly today. In Jesus' name, amen.